Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray you grant us your grace so that our meditations on the sacrifice of our Redeemer may be fruitful to us. Bless your word and speak to us through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. One of the differences between the context I originate from, that is Cameroon and Africa, and the Western context, is that in Cameroon, in my country, families own their children. But in the Western culture, arguably, it is the state that owns children. That is the reason why, for example, children in this context are allowed to leave school when they turn 16. In my country, because our parents have to tell us what we do, you can't leave school when you have not finished school. Related to that is the idea that in my context, not many families have got so much money that they can leave it for their children or inheritance. And so we are told to work hard. Because what you get or what you earn is what you've worked for. And so my parents always told us, 10 of us, if you don't go to school, you will not be able to feed yourself and feed your family. So you must work hard. Again, in this context, maybe reasonably or arguably, there are families who've got wealth, what they can spend for themselves, and probably pass on some to their children and grandchildren. And so what happens is that many children who don't want to take responsibility fold their arms and do nothing, waiting for the inheritance that would come from parents or grandparents. The prodigal son got what he wanted, but lost what he had. And the prodigal son is the main character in our New Testament text from which we are reflecting. He demands his own share of inheritance from his father in order to have the liberty to do what he likes without any control. But the boy is thoughtful enough at the end to realize his mistake, return home, and is given a hilarious welcome by the father to the disappointment of the elder brother, who has always remained loyal to their father but had never been offered such a lavish banquet of honor. The passage is really about God's attitude and activity towards sinners and the way others respond to them. God's attitude is seen in the Father, who longs to embrace the departing son and keep him as a member of his family, though he will not force him to stay home. When the son asks to go, he lets him walk out the door and go his own direction. Yet the father's response on his return makes it clear that he was thinking about the departed son all along. There are at least three lessons for us to learn from the text. And the first is that human beings are lost. And the most explicit account of our lostness is given in the parable of the prodigal son. He made a deliberate move of independence. He did not appreciate the love and security that came with living in the family home. Instead, he demanded his inheritance. As a younger son, he would have received one-third of his father's property. Interestingly, Judaism had advice about this kind of request. You were not to grant any such request in your lifetime. Nevertheless, the father in the parable granted the request. And then when the boy went into the distant country, he squandered his fortune and threw away his inheritance. His lifestyle was extravagant and immoral, and so he squandered all that he had until he had spent everything. Then when the famine struck, the land of his adoption. He fell into poverty and hunger, and the only job he could get would have disgusted not only him, but every Jew, because he became a pig keeper, and pigs were unclean animals according to the Jewish people. Not only did he feed the pigs, but he actually envied them and ate the pig food. And nobody lifted a finger to come to his aid. Whatever friends he might have had when he was a rich young man now evaporated into thin air. He was bankrupt and hungry and alone. And it was only when he was reduced to these depths of despair and penury, only then would he come to his senses. He remembered that his father's servants had plenty to eat while he was starving to death. So he determined to return home to confess that he had sinned against God and against his father, to acknowledge these things and to be received back, not now as a son, but rather as one of his father's servants. I think, friends, all of us can easily recognize ourselves in this prodigal son, because we too have wandered away from God in much the same way as the prodigal son. There have been times when we have flouted God's authority and rebuffed his love. We have wasted the goodness he has given us in gifts of mind and personality, and wasted our time in useless pursuits, and we have lost ourselves, because to be alienated from God is to be alienated from ourselves. We are lost and we cannot save ourselves. Now, secondly, we learn something about God's goodness, that in spite of our self-centered rebellion, he loves us and he misses us. The father misses his runaway son and doubtless weeps over him. And so valuable is his son that he cannot come to terms with the fact that he is lost. In the same way, when we wander away from God, he misses us. And then thirdly, that God still wants to bless us if we realize ourselves and come back to him. He has taken the pains in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ to come after us, to seek us and to save us. So Jesus Christ said, "The Son of Man came to seek and to find that which was lost." And God's good intention to receive and bless those who come back to him is evident in the Father's behavior towards the Son. When the father got back his son, he was very pleased and decided to offer a party in his honor, because even though he did not follow his son into the far country, never a day passed without him remembering him and without him waiting diligently for his son's return. And so as soon as he sees him, he rushes after him and embraces him. Friend, this is the meaning of grace. And grace is God's initiative coming after us to seek and to save us who are lost. Grace is gracious love, unmerited love, and unsolicited and persevering love. And this parable is preeminently about God the Father revealing his character as compassionate and forgiving. But God seeks a relationship that is consciously entered into by his children. The older brother had been around the father but did not really know him well. The younger brother approached the father humbly and discovered just how full of grace the father was. And so, friends, hymns like Amazing Grace are therefore fitting for us to sing when we reflect on the parable of the prodigal son, because it illustrates the depth of God's grace. Those who come to Christ with contrite hearts can be sure that God would run to greet them and wrap his hands around us and welcome us home. And when we return to God in penitence and faith, he would receive us, and then we can sing with the psalmist, Your faithful love surpasses life, evoking all my praise. Through every day to bless your name, my hands in joy I will raise. My deepest needs you satisfy as with a sumptuous feast. So on my lips and in my heart, your praise has never ceased. God's amazing grace. Let us pray. Faithful God, we come before your presence this morning with humble and contrite hearts because we all know that we've wandered away from you. Bring us back to you, O God, and continue to assure us of our salvation in Jesus Christ. We bless your name, for you live and reign through Christ our Lord. Amen.